You're listening to Get Out and Drive Podcast with John Custom Car Nerd Meyer and Sean Mr. Sedan Man Sheryl. We'll be bringing you gearheads all the information you've never wanted to know about cars and why they should be on the road and not in your garage. Are you ready to get out and drive?
I am Sean, Mr. Sedan Man Sheryl.
And I am John Custom Car Nerd Meyer.
I'm Kale Makrowski, also known as Cam Racing on Instagram and YouTube, and I appreciate you guys having me on the show here today.
Well, we're glad awesome. You could spend some time with us this morning.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty fun. I'm excited to do it.
Awesome. I know I've been kind of cruising around YouTube, seeing some of your videos, and especially on Instagram, because I know I'm pretty heavy on Instagram, and so is Sean. Seeing you're building a duster, man. You're only 16. What the hell are you doing building a car already?
Yeah, I was actually 15 when I bought it last December, wow. December 29th. Me and my dad, we did a 3-day road trip down from Illinois to New Mexico over Christmas break. And we went down, picked it up, and we drove home with it. So yeah, my goal is building it basically in 5 months for High Rod Power Tour in June.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Something got you interested in this car?
You know, my dream car has always been a 69 Charger. My dad showed me Dukes of Hazzard when I was a little kid, and I fell in love with the car, and, you know, I can't afford one at age 15 right now. And then I saw a 72 Demon, actually, in a magazine a while back, and I was like, I really like this body style, and I started falling in love with them over, like, the past 4 or 5 years, and it's, like, really all I've talked about. So I've been looking for one for about the past year now, and I couldn't find one that was, like, you know, close enough or was in the right shape. I didn't want something that was running and driving already because I wanted to build it and make it my own. So I found this one down in New Mexico. I was told it had no rust, and surprise to me, we ended up replacing the floor and the trunk floor. So got to learn how to do that.
Yeah, that's pretty common. You know, you're going to figure out that, you know, car looks good in pictures or looks good, mm-hmm. and then you finally get up to it and touch it or get it home, and it's less than what you thought. But you learn a lot about it. You know, Sean certainly learned a lot about that building his Chevelle.
Yeah, rust free. Just one man is junk to another, I think. So.
Yeah, I was told it was rust-free because it was a New Mexico car, right? You know, it's out in the desert. And we found that the car rusted inside out. So the floor was shot and the trunk floor was. So water must have seeped in it somehow. Mm-hmm. But the quarter panels, the fenders, the doors, the whole structure, the rockers are really intact. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, those are the main points. Cool. You can replace floors, but, like, replacing a quarter panel, doing all the body work, it's not really my thing. So I was disappointed, but now I know how to do it, and I've learned. I got to practice welding on it, you know, and now if I have to do it on another car, I know what I'm doing now.
There you go.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of pictures of you welding and stuff, man. It looks like you've got a good teacher. Looks like you're doing proper. Looks good.
Yeah, I've been welding for about a year now. A couple years ago, 3 years ago, me and my dad, we took apart a 69 GTO and we put an LS3 with a T56, a 9-inch, and a 4-link in it. It was a frame off, but we didn't touch the body or interior or anything. So it looks completely stock from the outside. And then it's got 500 horsepower and a whole new chassis underneath. So I've learned how to weld from that and kind of do everything during that process. But especially in my car now, I'm learning way, way, way much more than I think have ever learned.
Yeah, tell us about your car, man. What's in it? What's your plans? I know you're doing some restoration, putting the floors in it, getting it to where it's roadworthy. What's powering that thing?
So right now, originally actually came with a 904 and a slant 6 7 and a quarter rear end. Right now, we put a slant 6 and 904 back in simply for time and budget reasons. Because, like I said, my goal is to get it ready for Power Tour, which is in less than 5 months now. So when I originally bought the car, we knew the engine was locked up. We didn't know exactly why. And then literally within the first 3 days of us bringing it back here, we had the engine out and we found out that piston number 3 was rusted to the cylinder wall. And so was number 6. So somebody either left the valve cover open or had the head off and just kind of had it disassembled. The water got in it and it was rusted pretty bad. So we took it to the machine shop. We were going to see exactly what they could do and how much it would cost. And it's going to be like $2,000 just to clean up the block and make it usable again. So we ended up buying a complete running and driving slant 6 and 904 off Facebook Marketplace for $100. And we hung it from our engine hoist in the garage. All it needed was a new starter, a new coil, hooked up a battery. And yeah, that was pretty much it just to get it running. And turns out it actually ran. That video, I put it in a YouTube video and on my Instagram. It's a pretty cool video. I was really excited. And then we ended up taking it apart the 2 weeks after. We disassembled the whole thing, cleaned up the entire block. Somebody had changed the oil on it, so it was completely just coated in burnt oil, and it was a mess. But we did all that, replaced all the gaskets on it, new water pump, new rear main seal, rebuilt the head. We didn't do anything to like the pistons or the block itself, simply because this isn't my permanent forever engine. I'd eventually like a V8, and if I didn't do any of this, dump a ton of money into it, it just gives me more motivation and more reason to put a V8 in it, which my plan is in a year and a half to 2 years, I'm going to save up, build one on the side, and then, you know, throw it in over a month or two, like during the winter when I'm not driving.
Cool. So what are you doing to get money at your age? And you like cutting grass and doing work for people, or what are you doing? I mean, I built my car when I was 14. And I cut every lawn in town. I mean, what are you doing?
Yeah, so to save up for this eventually, I've been saving literally my whole life, you know. So I cut grass, just like you mentioned, all in the summer to a bunch of different people as much as I could. And then snow blowing, because it snows here a lot in Illinois. Sure. And then kind of like where I focus a lot of my time on is building my models. So over the past year or so, kind of, through Instagram and getting somewhat of a following, you know, people have started to ask me to do commissions for them, replicas of their cars.
Oh, wow.
So last year, 2019 alone, I did 17 model replicas and sold them. So that helped.
Wow. So those are listener commissions.
Yeah. Anyone that follows me, I get messages a ton now asking, you know, what it will be for a replica, how much it will be, what exactly you need, like the time frame. And, you know, every car is different. It depends on the whole chassis or if it's mainly stock, but just like an engine swap. And the thing for me is I try to make it most detailed and most realistic as possible. And some people don't realize that takes, you know, a couple months to get that all done.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the tough part sometimes, but it's what worked out well so far.
Yeah, that's very cool. That's awesome.
Thank you.
What do you got for him, Sean?
So you think building models when you was younger, that you think that kind of helped you learn parts and everything with the cars, or?
Yeah. So my dad obviously got me stuck on cars. I came home from the hospital in his 69 GTO, and so do my siblings. He drives that car literally every day to work and back. We drive it all across the country. So he really got me started. You know, everyone starts out with Hot Wheels and stuff. So I started out just customizing Hot Wheels, you know, and paint them with little brushes, Sharpie them, kind of whatever I could. And then I eventually graduated to building 124 scale models. And I still have the first one I built. I have everyone. Except for all the commissions. I don't really like to sell, you know, my personal builds. I like to keep them. But yeah, building those has definitely helped me learn all the parts of a car, learn all the cars themselves, but like all the mechanical aspects, fabbing, learning how to work on a real car. My dad has taught me all of that, and watching, you know, TV, YouTube videos, learning as much as I can from my dad and just everyone around me.
Yeah. Well, Sean and I are always talking about we need the next generation. We need people that are doing this, they're going to love this, because someday I won't be here and somebody's got to take care of all this crap that I like. Hopefully we're passing it on to you, your generation. You know, somebody passed it on to me. I talk to people that are in their 70s and 80s and they want to know why I'm working on late model cars. And those are 69 and 70 GTOs and Chevelles. I don't consider that a late model car, you know, but
yeah, I mean, everything from, like you said, you don't consider a 69 or a 70 really a late model. I don't really either. And speaking of like the whole generation thing, I feel like a lot of kids my age, and I know a lot of kids my age aren't into this. So I'm trying to take like not really advantage of it, but I'm just, that just leaves more cars for me. No, that's the way I think of it.
Yeah. Yeah. There's going to be, you have to spread the word. You got to preach, you know, and that's the best thing is people listen to me. They may listen to you more. You know, you're going to be in my shoes later on and you're going to have to say, hey, maybe you not work on that Nissan. Maybe you should work on a 70 GTO. You know, that kind of thing, and kind of push that stuff forward. Somebody's going to have interest in it. You may not have any personal connection to that car, but you certainly do because you were brought home in it and your dad used it and you've got some sort of sentimental value with that car. You know, it's just sheet metal, rubber, and glass, but for whatever reason, you care about it and you have to get someone else to care about that as well.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that, you know, not many kids are into it anymore. I feel like everyone that I know in the car industry is my age or older. You know, there's kids that are, you know, building models and stuff, but I feel like a lot of them never, you know, graduate to actually building real cars. So there's not many people left doing that. So like, anytime I see one, you know, building models or playing with Hot Wheels or something, I'm like, hey, you guys want to like come over? I'll show you like my real car. I'll show you my, my paint. You guys can watch these videos and see what it's actually like to build a car. That's why I try to like show on my page. I do all these Instagram stories and stuff, and it's a lot of fun and everything. You know, I'm not getting paid for it or anything, but I want to show exactly what it takes to build a car and show that you don't have to go to the extent that I'm doing. Like if you want holes in your floor, you can just throw a patch over it and go out and just drive it and have fun. But with my car, I plan to be a daily and use it for many years to come. So like replacing the floor now is kind of, you know, a necessity. But I feel like with a lot of kids my age, a lot of them are into like Lamborghinis or like Teslas, stuff like that, where I'd rather take a rusty 72 Duster over any of that all day.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you've followed much about what Sean and I do daily for a living. We work in an auto restoration shop, and we're working at Frisco Hill Auto. We build incredible cars, super detailed, incredible restorations. You know, Sean just put a put an engine in a Hemi. I think it's 60s or it's a 70 Roadrunner.
70 right, Roadrunner. Yep. 70 Roadrunner.
Just finished a 70 Roadrunner Hemi automatic car, very rare car. And we're building these cars and we're making them perfect. That's one of the reasons why we do this every day. That's one of the reasons why we built Saddle Tramp. And it's just to get it out and have fun and build a patina car.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with basically everything you said.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things we always preach to people is, you know, not everybody has the same budget, not everybody has the same skills, but we all have the same love for cars and, you know, build what you can with what you have and get out and drive it and enjoy it. I mean, don't just let it sit in the garage just because it doesn't have shiny paint or, you know, it may have a rust hole in it. Who cares? Get out and drive it anyhow.
You know? Yeah, I mean, I love that you guys are, you know, preaching this and talking about it. And obviously you got a whole podcast based on it, but it bothers me when people just let projects cars sit in their garage for like 2 years. Yeah, I understand you got like, you know, family and a job and stuff, but if it doesn't need that much, like if you got to just put, you know, tires on it or do some wiring or something, you know, just, it takes maybe, you know, what, a week of actual work to get it drivable. And then once it's drivable, you know, you can do everything after. That's kind of what my whole thing for the car is. I'm going to get it running and driving, and then I'll piece it together and do like all the modifications after. Like I said, I can't stand when people just let their car sit in their garage for years on end or 6 months even. Like the whole point, like you said, is just to go out and keep them running and driving.
Yeah, it's right. It's not always someone's physical choice that I'm going to get a car and I'm going to put it somewhere. I'm going to put it in the garage and just let it sit. Life, wife, tons of other things, your house, your kids, everything gets in front of it. And we've seen it thousands of times. Got a vehicle. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, for me, I don't want to like sound like kind of like mean here, but like cars are like my priority. You know, they're my passion. They're what I love.
I'm always
going to have one, always going to, I mean, I'm going to daily this duster as long as I can. You know, I don't want a newer car. I'd rather drive this every day. It's a lot more fun. It's just better all around.
Yeah, it's certainly great. I mean, that's, you know, Sean drives Saddle Tramp to work. I drive my Maverick, and it's great to pull up next to some kind of new Toyota, and it's just a bar of soap, and it looks like every other car on the road.
Yeah,
and you know, somebody in a brand new Mustang is looking at my Maverick, going, "Oh, what the hell? Why is that thing cool?"
Yeah,
and you know, he just spent $60,000 on a car, and my car is worth under $6,000. And there's a reason why he's looking at my car, you know, because it doesn't look like everything else.
Yeah, I'm not going to spend, you know, $60,000 on a newer car or whatever. I'll spend it on, you know, 20 Plymouth Dusters if I want to. You know, that's just what I like. And I'm not doing it, you know, to be different than any other newer car out there or anything. It's just genuinely what I love. And it's cool that it's different than every other car, because everyone's going to turn heads when you see a bright orange duster. I mean, we get it with the GTO all the time. Everyone's like, "Oh, look at that car. We're at a stoplight." And they're like, "Oh, that's like my favorite car. It's my dream car, man. Like, I'm going to have one one day." So everybody likes those cars, it seems, but they don't obviously have one or something. So it's just, it's just cool that it brings smiles to people's faces sometimes.
Yeah, wait till you drive your car to your high school parking lot. And
nobody's
going to
know
it. Right. Every other car is like some sort of silver or white or dark green import. And there's going to be your bright orange car sitting right there in the middle of the parking lot. And you won't lose it. You'll know where it's at.
That is true. It seems everybody's got, you know, like a Elantra or like a Civic or a Chevy Cruze or something that's just like gray or white. And every car in the parking lot looks the same. There's been one guy at my high school parking lot. I've seen him only drive it once. But he had a 67 blue Mercury Cougar. And I mean, I've only seen it once. And I like talked to him. I was like, "Hey, is this yours?" He's like, "Yeah." I'm like, "How come you don't drive it anymore, man?" He's like, "Oh, you know, I don't want to like get to break or anything." I'm like, "If it breaks, like that's fun. If it breaks, you get to fix it. It's a whole adventure in itself." And I mean, it's not like it's unrepairable. You got the tools, you got the time, you know, you'll find a way to fix it. You know, even if you don't, you can take it to a mechanic. If you truly love it, you'll find a way to drive it and fix it every day.
Yeah, that's great. It sounds go ahead.
Old cars are going to break just like new cars are going to break. I mean, everybody wants to trust new cars more than old cars, but there's a reason why they have a shop at the dealership that you can drop your car off and have somebody work on it. Everything's going to break.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you're going to have the car, you know, either learn some skills to fix it, make some friends that can help you fix it. You know, and that's what a lot of it is. Not everybody's got the same skill where they can fix everything on a car. You know, make some friends that I specialize in mechanical stuff. John specializes in making it shiny and bodywork and stuff. So we make a pretty good team, you know, and that's what it's about. You know, get some friends that have a common interest that can help you work on your car and keep it on the road.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the whole car community, and especially with this whole Instagram and YouTube thing, with everything being online and social media now, I feel like I wouldn't have met half the friends that I have, you know, they're in the car community, if it weren't for this. Because, like I said, there's not many people my age that are still into it. So, like, having Instagram and YouTube, I mean, it helps connect us all, and we can all, you know, share the love and passion for cars. Because not many kids my age know how to change oil or rotate tires anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Sean and I talk all the time about, who Mike Rowe is, right? Dale?
Okay.
You know who Mike Rowe is? Okay.
Yeah.
We constantly talk about the same thing that Mike Rowe pushes. I wish there was general knowledge classes in schools about automotive. We wish that state requirements, would have to pass a driving test, need to know road safety, breakdown safety, how to change a tire, how to put fuel in your car. That type of thing. We really push that all the time, trying to get schools to get that curriculum to where you don't just get in a car and they make sure that you make a correct left turn, you don't crash into anything, here's your driver's license. I really think that would be great.
I'm in driver's ed right now, and we learn about driving and everything, but the most thing I've learned in driver's ed about an actual car is how to change a tire. So, that's it may seem like something so simple, but obviously something very important. But like you said, that's like the most automotive related thing we've learned. We don't learn how to, change like a light or anything, or how to, if your car's even running, how to like repair a car, rebuild it, anything like that. I wish we had an automotive class at my school. We have a welding class, so I'm going to be taking that next year. Learn
very good.
Better on how to weld, how to TIG weld, and everything like that.
Do you still have a shop class at your school?
So what we have for my school is a little different. Is four schools combined into this one building. And in this building, there's like a bunch of like odd classes. So like I said, welding, there's like police, there's fire, there's like cooking, all things that you can go into for like the trades. And then there is an automotive class. And we went and toured it, like an open house kind of thing. And it's they got plenty of tools and stuff, but it's very simple stuff. Like I said, changing your oil, rotating your tires, checking to see if your wiring is still working. And I'm learning pretty much a lot of that on doing this car. So I figured, take welding, just to learn how to further weld, like take weld stuff like that, to make my welding better, because obviously I'm going to use it on cars here to come. And honestly, I like learning a lot from my dad. I've never really had like a teacher, like a school teach me how to do any of this. I like learning from my dad here in our garage.
That's cool. Did I hear you say that they teach you how to change a tire in driving class?
Yes, that's right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody's listening, Sean. Maybe somebody's listening.
Maybe.
They teach us how to
When I went through driver's ed, they didn't teach us how to change a tire. They taught us how to make a left turn or a right turn.
Right.
They teach us how to.
This is a line, and this is a line. Don't crash in anything.
Right.
They teach us how to change a tire and use jumper cables. That's pretty much it.
Wow.
Obviously, all of it, the driving terms and road signs and stuff like that. Normal stuff in driver's ed.
Yeah. Well, that's more than we got. That's for sure.
Yep.
That's something. I mean, maybe some people are learning, maybe some people are listening. So you're going to paint the outside of your car eventually, or are you leaving it patina, or what's your plans?
I get that question a lot. So yeah.
Shiny cars. I like patina cars. Let me know.
I personally love the patina look a lot, so I'm going to keep this exactly how it is. I need to replace the tail panel, a bunch of Bondo on it, and it's got a pretty good dent in it. So for now, I'll just pull the dent out and leave it, because tail panels are more expensive than I thought they would be. But to drive your car and everything, it doesn't have to be a perfect shiny paint job. I prefer it to be patina. I just like the look more. You don't have to worry about paint chips or anything. My dad's GTO, like I said, he drives it every day. It's who knows how long ago it's been painted. It's not the original color, I know that, but it was painted after that at some point. And I mean, it's got chips in it, and it's got cracks and stuff. No rust, nothing like that. So I want to repair all the rust on it, but basically keep the patina look, make the body panels. There's a couple dents in the driver's side fender here, but I kind of like them. I like the look of it. It's a character.
Yeah. Yeah, please scream that everywhere. Your car doesn't have to be perfect to drive it. It doesn't matter. Put the top down on your convertible. Drive the shit out of it all the time. Drive it, drive it, drive it.
I agree with that. You know, there's plenty of people that a main reason why their cars are in their garage is because they're spending so much time getting them perfect. You know, the only cars that absolutely need to be perfect are SEMA cars, and those cars will never be driven. They're show cars for a reason. You know, it sucks that nobody's ever going to drive these, you know, $100,000 cars, but I guess that's what they're meant to do. So like you said, they don't need to be perfect. You know, if you got a rip in the seat, are you really not going to just go out and drive it?
Yeah. Make sure that you use something. That's Sean Chevelle is an incredible car. It's really, really well done car. He's not scared to drive it. There's rock chips in it. It's crazy, but it's also something that's the reason that we built Saddle Tramp. Get the thing out, get it driving, you know, along with the patina craze. It's something that you just got to get out and show everybody that, you know, this thing looks busted up, but it's not. It'll run. I drive that truck across the country.
Yeah. I mean, even if it looks old on the outside or busted up or it's got rust, doesn't mean, you know, you literally can't drive it. It's all about the mechanicals work and the wiring, the engine, you know, if you got tires that are right. You can do like the body work and the rust if you really want to, like while it's driving, like it could be a weekend project, you know, but that's no reason not to just go out and have fun with it.
Yeah, I find with my Chevelle, it being a shiny car, if I take it out, I feel like I have to clean it before I take it anywhere and make sure that it looks nice. But, you know, I'll spend the time if I have the time, and I'm certainly not afraid to drive the car. I've driven it in rain. I've driven it in hail, you know, and that's what I built it for was to drive. But if I've only got a couple minutes and I want to drive something fun, I'll take a broom and knock junk off a Saddle Tramp. And leaves and whatever has fallen on it, and I'll drive it, and you know, I could be ready to go, and or even if I have to do that, you know, I'm ready to go at it at any time. So, you know, it's just
Like my people give my dad criticism for, you know, driving the GTO like in the rain or the snow or anything. It's like, what's it hurting? It's literally hurting nothing. You know, we're gonna blast all the salt off the bottom of it when we're in the garage. Or clean it all down. So that's the one thing that sucks about Illinois here is all the salt on the roads from the snow. So you just got to be careful for that. It can actually, you know, cause rust underneath and everything. But as long as you just, like, clean that off with a hose, you know, wipe it all down, you'll be fine. Nothing to worry about.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. Go ahead.
I'm getting criticism about driving my car all the time. And aren't you afraid to get that out and drive it? No, I'm not. I love driving that car. You know, if it gets rock chips in it, you know, each rock chip is a trophy. No, I'd rather have that kind of trophy than it's sitting like jewelry in a car show and win some $3 bowling trophy, basically. You know, I can let my car sit and not enjoy it, or I can get out and drive it, enjoy the car, get a rock chip or two. Yeah, that's what I'd rather do.
Yeah, for Illinois here, when you go to like register your car, you know, you can get antique plates for like the GTO or the Duster here. But because we drive them so much, we can't have antique plates. So we just have like regular plates. So that's definitely saying something. If you see a car with an antique plate on it, that means, you know, the people only take it to car shows or drive around here or there. And it's like, what's the point in that?
Yeah, that's exactly true. I know on my Maverick, people have asked me about why I don't have vintage plates in the car. I've got regular plates in the car, and I drive that thing rain, shine, snow, hail, doesn't matter. Yeah. I think it's the first vintage car in a long time that I've had an ice scraper, you know, in the car. Doesn't matter if it's got snow on it, start it up, drive it. So that's pretty cool. I know you said you started with Hot Wheels and stuff like that with your model building. How'd you end up getting started with that, choosing model cars, just kind of graduate from Hot Wheels to model cars?
So for I don't remember if it was my 8th or 9th birthday, but my dad gave me a 69 442 Cullis Supreme model. I have it. I remember. I'm going to keep that thing forever. And at the time, lived out in California, and I started working on that. And then I got, I think it was, it's a 70 Challenger I have. And I built that. And like, at this point, my dad was building more of it than me because I didn't know what I was doing. And I just gradually, started building more and more on my own. And then I'm like, hey, like, I don't want to build this stock anymore. So I started doing like customizations, using like very little stuff because I didn't know there was this huge whole world on model building. I only found this out over the past 2 or 3 years with this whole Instagram thing because there's so much. You wouldn't think there's so much for just 124 scale car, but I mean, you can get any aftermarket part on real cars pretty much for the model stuff. So like I said, just to make like a simple roll cage, I would use the plastic tree that the parts came on in the model bin, and it's like round tubing. Yeah. So I would cut that up, file it down to get it perfectly smooth. And then my roll cages would just be like a box like this. I wouldn't have like a bench loop or anything. I didn't know what I was doing. You know, this is like
when you got to start somewhere.
Right.
And eventually I learned that you can buy like plastic rod at like hobby stores and you bend that up and make cages. And then I found out like online, people actually sell like aftermarket parts like turbos or blowers or rims or seats or stuff like that. So I started doing that. But before that, I would actually buy like a whole nother kit just to take like the blower from or just to take the rims from because I had no idea this aftermarket stuff was out here. And then people do this thing called resin casting and you take the part and you make a mold of it and that you can just pour resin in it and pop out as many parts as you want. So I did that for a while last year, made a ton of aftermarket parts to help me and then I actually ended up selling some. So that's kind of how I saved up for this thing.
So you were learning resin casting.
Yeah. I wasn't
so
the
you,
best
you,
at it.
You actually but, taught yourself and you watch videos. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause like my daddy never resin casted model parts or anything. I just learned from guys on Instagram. I mean, it's crazy how much you can literally learn just from people think it's just, like a social media app. Or whatever, you can learn so much off of it if you use it right and talk to people and follow the right people and ask around. Yeah. You can learn off of it.
Yeah, that's true. It is quite the gathering of people. And I kind of put myself and Sean and I talk about it quite a lot. I don't care where you are, learn one new thing each day.
I mean, yeah, that's every day with this car, I'm learning a new thing. Like I didn't know we'd have to replace the floor. So like we did that. I learned how to do that. I learned how to rebuild the carburetor. I learned how to, rear end swap. I learned how to do a front disc brake conversion. I'm learning so much every day, new stuff that I didn't even know existed.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's important. Where did you get the idea to kit bash your time travel generally?
So, that's probably my most popular model. I'm assuming that's why you're talking about it. But the idea to another podcast, the Kibbe and Friends Show. It's one of my favorites with Bob Kibbe. Mm-hmm. And they were reviewing Back to the Future on it. And you know the whole show is based around the Dukes Hazzard and the General Lee. Right. And I was like, I was just thinking in my head, I was like, what if, someone made a Back to the Future generally, like Bo and Luke went back in time. And I was like, I think I'm actually going to make this happen in scale. So I had a General Lee kit, went out, got a DeLorean kit and just chopped them up and added a lot of detail. And it turned out as you guys saw it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fantastic. And that's a great idea. It's thinking outside the box. That's the type of stuff we need to carry on this whole deal.
I don't want to say that build like put on the map or anything, but like it definitely got a lot of attention more than I thought it would have. I was just doing it for fun and I didn't post any pictures, any progress pictures or anything. And I would just post like little hints, like a fender picture or like a picture of the quarter panel. And people would like be going like crazy. Like, what is that? You know, because I always would post progress pictures of everything I was doing. And then like finally, after 3 months of building it, I got my buddy to take these really, really cool pictures. And we hung it like with a string like this fishing wire over a pond and to make it look like it was flying. And so we took some pictures of that, which are the ones you guys have probably seen. Mm-hmm. And we photoshopped what he did. I have no idea how to do any camera thing or anything with computers, really. And he photoshopped this. We got, you know, the blue flames coming out of the rims. And then we had, like, the fire coming out of the back of it. And then we photoshopped out the fishing wire. And people were going, like, nuts over that. And I was like, this is so cool.
Yeah, you'll find out quickly, it's the things that you don't think are going to really take off and make it. Those are the things that are going to get you noticed.
I didn't think it was going to get a ton of attention. You know, I thought it was kind of a silly idea at first, and I'm like, you know, I kind of want to build this in real day one time.
Right. Yeah, it's absolutely incredible. Because sometimes things go together. Some things that don't go together. Wow.
Yeah.
And those two things don't go together.
No, they don't. it's my favorite TV show of all time and my favorite car of all time, the Generally, mixed with my one of my favorite movies, you know, Back to the Future 2, movie and television that I really love, two cars I really love. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what better way than just combine them?
Are you a fan of the movie Cars and things like that?
Like the Pixar movie, you're talking about just like car.
Well, no, just like movie cars in general. I didn't mean to say the movie cars, but just movie cars, screen used movie cars, you know, stuff from, you know, like Herbie and A-Team and that type of thing. Are you interested in all that?
Yeah. You know, like I mentioned, my all time dream car and favorite car is the General Lee. And I've learned a lot, just recently, like I mentioned, listening to the Kibbe and Friends podcast. And, you know, I do like a lot of the other cars that are on it, the DeLorean from Back to the Future, the Bullet Mustang, you know, all those cars are awesome. I love basically any American muscle car that's in a movie besides the Fast and Furious ones because they tend to ruin those.
Right. And you certainly have to remember, and you can remember this for good, Eleanor is yellow, not gray.
I've seen the original one. Yep, it's way better.
Yes, Eleanor is yellow. I remind everybody, and Sean knows that.
Oh, yeah, I hear it almost every day.
Yes, all the kids are out there going, oh, Eleanor's great. One. Yeah, Eleanor's yellow. Awesome.
So, Cale, where do you see where do you see yourself going from here with this car, with your future?
So specifically with this car, like I mentioned, my goal is to get running by June. And then I'm just going to daily it as much as I can. And I eventually want to have my own shop and smaller race team, not like a sponsored race team or anything. Like I personally just want to race. I love dirt track and circle track racing. My dad used to have a team, stopped that after I was born, and I've always wanted to do it. I'm a huge NASCAR fan, drag racing, but like I said, I want to have my own shop one day, build cars like this for people. But the tough thing is, I feel like in a couple years, 10 years, you know, when I want to start my own shop, cars like these won't be in as demand as much. They're already declining now, which sucks. You know, people are all into the whole electric thing. And my dad keeps telling me, he's like, you need to open up about electric cars because that's where the future is going. You know, you got to figure out a way to hot rod those. And I'm like, I just can't get on board with the electric cars. I'd rather have this, you know, than like a Tesla or anything.
Yeah.
Well, cool. I don't know if you have anything else ready for him, Sean. I know we got to wrap this up in a bit.
Yep. That's about all I got.
Cool, man. It's, awesome, Cale. I'm sure we'll talk again soon, and we'll get maybe have you back on again when we can get out and we can have you see some updates and take a look at your car. But man, it's been awesome to listen to this from your point of view today.
Yeah, thank you guys for, you know, having me on, inviting me. I love talking about cars as much as I can. I mean, I'll talk about this for 4 hours if I have to. You know, it's just fun for me. I like to talk about it and all. And yeah, I'd love to show you guys the car in person one day, maybe at an event or something when all this, you know, is over.
Yeah, I can say for us that at our age, it's exciting to see young people like yourself interested in this stuff and want to pursue these cars and you know, keep them alive, be the next generation of caretakers.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you. It's all I want to do is just, you know, build cars, keep doing it every day, and hopefully I can get, you know, paid to do it and make it my job.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Well, that is great. Make sure to follow Cam Racing on YouTube and on Instagram.
Yep, there I'm trying to, you know, keep stories and posts on Instagram, updates, and making YouTube videos and starting that. So thanks for the shout out, guys.
Great, great. Right, it's great having you on tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. It was fun.
Hey, Kale, what drives you?
What drives me? Building cars, showing people exactly what I can do at such a young age. My inspiration, just building basically anything out of what I got. Started from models. Now I'm working on my Duster back here and just hanging out, working in the garage with my dad.
And make sure you come back to our next episode where we'll be talking with Brad Ulmer. Brad is a graduate of McPherson College, is currently a fabricator of Frisco Hill Auto, and a new owner of a 1963 Galaxy.
Wow.
I am John, Custom Car Nerd and Meyer. And you can follow me at Custom Car Nerd on Instagram.
And I'm Sean, Mr. Sedan Man Cheryl. You can follow me on Instagram at Mr. Sedan Man.
What drives you?